Chinook, it's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaskan natives.
Chinook Echoes is looking back into native heritage.
How things are and how they got that way.
Chinook Patterns is information.
Issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life.
Chinook Profiles, portraits of people, places, events.
But mostly the people who are Alaskans.
Welcome to Chinook Profiles. I'm Paula Schiller with the second in a series of conversations with Pauline Carlo. Pauline wrote a book called Nulato, An Indian Life on the Yukon, in which she describes the old and continuing ways of life in the village. Nulato, along with Kaltag, is famous for holding a week-long potlatch called the Stick Dance, although the actual stick dance is only one part of the whole ritual. Pauline devoted a chapter of her book to ceremonies and celebrations. She begins it with a description of shooting a greeting.
It really created a lot of excitement in the village. Like when the people are coming back from Caillou, which is, about 20 miles or so across country from Nulato, but by boat it would be about 50 miles. And when the people, you know, they'd stay out all winter long trapping, and in the spring of the year, well, they'd come back home. And there was a point that they'd come out about 2 miles below Nulato where they'd all stop there and make a campfire, and we could see that, you know, and everybody just gets so excited, you know, and then they'd wait till all the people get there, and then they'd all tie their boats and come into the village, and they'd start shooting, and the village people would start shooting and, you know, answering to them. And it was, for us younger people, it was, you know, a real happy time, but then for the older people, some of them were sad, you know, they'd cry because maybe they had lost someone in the family during the winter or something, and it would always bring back memories, you know. And it was sad and happy times that seemed like, you know, people just shared.
The other occasion that always seems happy and sad at the same time is the potlatch, and especially the stick dance. That seems like part of the time it's very happy, and part of the time it's sad because you're remembering, you know, your loved ones. Was it, is it more happy or sad, or is it?
Well, it's it is a very sad thing that we have to go through during the time that we are celebrating, which lasts for a week, you know. But then in preparation for that, sometimes it's 2 or 3 years. Mm. And so whenever you're working on the things that, you know, you're going to give away for the potlatch or to put away, you know, you always have that sad feeling. And I remember when I was growing up, it isn't so right now, but at that time, whenever the older women sewed on things for the potlatch, they wouldn't want any of the kids around them. They don't want the kids to touch whatever they're sewing for the dead, you know, to have the potlatch for the dead. But now it isn't that way. We do a lot of sewing and knitting and such, but we never, you know.
You let the kids.
It's not so serious as some are, not all, you know, but some still are, but not as really, you know.
Do you think it's going to make the potlatches and the stick dance less meaningful as people go away from those superstitious and those other beliefs?
I don't think so. Not in Nulato it won't, because you can see the last few years, even the younger, very young teenage girls and boys are grasping, you know, the meaning of the whole thing, you know, really. They're taking part in it, and it's an ongoing thing, I'm sure. And I sure hope that we never do give that up, because for a while there, our Catholic priests were so against it that it almost died out. And I'm so thankful now that it didn't, because it means so much to us. It would have been a sad thing had they really, you know, done away with that. Because Nulato and Kaltag are the only two places that have that culture.
You went to Catholic school, and I presume you were brought up Catholic.
Certainly, yes.
How do you put the two together? You have the very important stick dance and what that means to you, and then you also have the church. How do you put those together?
It was very, very hard, because my grandfather was a medicine man, and I couldn't help but believe in part of his beliefs, and on the other hand, I was taught that it was wrong for me to believe in the medicine people. So therefore, I was almost right in the middle of it, but I stuck more to the religion part, you know.
That, did you have to think about it a lot, or?
I really did. It was really hard to pick between the two.
Do you think that, or do you wish maybe you had learned more about the you know, your father's beliefs and the Indian ways?
Well, I had learned all there was to learn, really. Oh. You know, I don't think there's anything that I don't know about, really, in that sense. But like our Catholic beliefs, they were so strict too. And I don't know, I have a mixed feeling about that now, since they taught us so many things that were so wrong to them at that time. And now here they turn right around and tell us in the church now that what we believed at that time, it's not the same anymore. And, you know, I really get into arguments over this a lot with my priests and my nuns, you know, because I'm just too old to change. You know, I was brought up that way, and I can't see why they should tell me that what they taught me was wrong.
What do you tell your children then? You want them, you tell them some of how you grew up, and they were interested in the book, and they want to know the traditional beliefs, but then they've got the same kind of decision and choice that they have to make between what they...
Not so much so. They do believe in, you know, our ways, because I have taken them down to the village, you know, and they have taken part in what goes on. But then this other life too, so it's mixed, you know. It's about half and half.
Did you try and make sure that they did see what it was like in
the
village?
Oh yes. In fact, we didn't move away from village life till my children were of high school age, and the reason we moved away was because I couldn't see sending my kids away from home. And I'm glad that we did it that way, because that's the best years of our life to share with our children as they're growing up. And I feel for parents that have to send their kids away to high school for 4 years. I really do, because no way you could replace those years that you lose with your children. And they do need you during that time. I think that's the one thing that helped me go through the time that I lost my boy, is that whenever he came home, when it was time to eat, dinner was always on the table. And if at any time they needed us, we were always here. And you know.
That takes some of the grief.
You know, there's nothing. You don't have that feeling, saying, "Well, gee, why wasn't I? Why didn't I do this for him? Why didn't I do that for him?" Well, I don't have that.
That gets back to the potlatch. I think it's hard for some people to understand why the potlatch is important and why that continues and how people feel about that, especially when they've got the Christian religion sort of involved in that too. You've had, you know, a funeral, and you go through the rites of the church, but then you still have the potlatch.
It's hard for a person that does not understand to, even no matter how much I explain the thing, it won't go through a person's head, really, unless a person sees it. Then maybe you might understand a little bit of it, but otherwise, you know, I can just talk and talk, and still it won't. Like what we have at home, too, where no other villages, except maybe around, maybe about six villages that do so, is where when we lose a person, we have the person right in our own home, and the people from the village, I mean from the village itself, you know, you're there 24 hours a day. Maybe you'd have the body there for 2 or 3 days, and it's never left alone. Night and day there's people in there, and then the people would bring food. All the people would bring food, and it's constant feeding and telling stories and such, and I think it makes a person feel closer, you know. I don't know how to explain it. It's just, I can't see myself putting my son in some other house where there's no one. I think that's terrible, you know. This one young girl that married a white person that went out to California a few years ago, she got killed in a car out there. So her husband brought her back, and he said it was the first time he saw anything like that. And he said it made him feel so good, because he said he could go in there and just sit with his wife and then go out and then come whenever he wanted to, and she was always right there, you know. And I think the first time I ever saw amongst our own people was in 1937, when I went to work at the hospital at Tanana, and there was a death in the village. So after I got off work, you know, I went uptown to, you know, sit around like we do at home at New Lano. So I went up to the place where the person had died. I went in there were some people sitting around, and so I asked this one lady, I said, "Well, where's the body?" And she said, "Well, it's they had it somewhere else, you know." And I thought, gee, that's funny, you know. And so they had to explain to me it was, you know, their way of doing that, where at home it wasn't, you know, it was just the other way around.
Pauline Carlo, her book is Nulato, An Indian Life on the Yukon. Next time, we'll hear more about the stick dance of Nulato and Caltag. For Chinook Profiles, I'm Paula Schiller, and Chinook is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.
Chinook, it's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaskan Natives.
Chinook Echoes is looking back into Native heritage.
How things are and how they got that way.
Chinook Patterns is information.
Issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life.
Chinook Profiles, portraits of people, places, events.
But mostly the people who are Alaskan.
Well, it's it is a very sad thing that we have to go through during the time that we are celebrating, which lasts for a week, you know. But then in preparation for that, sometimes it's 2 or 3 years. Mm. And so whenever you're working on the things that, you know, you're going to give away for the potlatch or to put away, you know, you always have that sad feeling. And I remember when I was growing up, it isn't so right now, but at that time, whenever the older women sewed on things for the potlatch, they wouldn't want any of the kids around them. They didn't want the kids to touch whatever they're sewing for the dead, you know, to have the potlatch for the dead.
That's about where we left off last week in our conversation with Pauline Carlo. Hello, I'm Paula Schiller, and this is the concluding segment with Pauline. We were talking about the stick dance held only in Nulato and neighboring Caltag. Pauline writes about it in her book, Nulato and Indian Life on the Yukon. The stick dance is a week-long potlatch. It involves giving gifts to friends in honor of the dead, and it's a chance to say the final goodbyes. It's also something that's hard for people who have never witnessed it to understand.
Even no matter how much I explain the thing, it won't go through a person's head, really, unless a person sees it. Then maybe you might understand a little bit of it, but otherwise, you know, I can just talk and talk and still it won't...
I think maybe people do understand that because everybody's had somebody die in their mm-hmm. family and they felt the grief, and one thing I know is that my father died when I was very young. Mm-hmm. And I always felt that he was around.
Mm-hmm.
And reading about the stick dance and some of the what you called superstitions mm-hmm. about the dead being in the village mm-hmm. during the stick dance made sense to me because
you
I know, had that feeling.
You just you really during our stick dances, you know, you really get the feeling that you're just not alone. And the belief that we have is after we have the stick dance and give all the stuff away and pay everyone back for what they have done for us, that it's the very end of them leaving the village. You know, we had to prepare for over 2 years, you know, for the potlatch. And in our way, the dressing of the person, as we call it, is where we have to dress a person from their underclothes up to their fur clothes, the whole outfit. And usually the people that take care of the body are the ones that you have to do that to. You know, like in the village, there isn't a mortuary where the mortician or whatever you call him would take care of the body. And the people are always so, so good about, you know, just they wouldn't let the relatives do that. You know, they're all just there doing whatever they could. And then, of course, they used to have homemade coffins years ago, which they don't anymore. You very seldom have homemade coffins anymore. Or they charter up from the villages now and pick out a coffin they want up here and, you know. But like the people that dig the graves, you know, that has to be done by hand. And if someone gives something, say a blanket or a suit or maybe a pair of slippers or beaded mitts or whatever to, you know, for the person to be put away in, well, at the time of the potlatch, you think of those things. It don't have to be much. Mm-hmm. But it's just something that you'd say, well, here, thank you for what you've done for me, you know. And it just gives you a satisfaction, you know, by giving back mm-hmm. a little gift to the person that did something for you.
And the people that helped the most or were... kind of in charge of things, they are dressed in the new clothes
mm-hmm.
from top to bottom.
Yes, uh-huh. And then this is in the hall. It's the last night of the potlatch. The next night after the stick dance. The stick dance, it usually starts about 9 o'clock in the evening, and it goes all night till maybe 3 or 4 o'clock the next afternoon. And that's without stopping, you know. And then afterwards, then that same night is when we have the dressing. And the people all are dressed in the hall. And as they're going out, they put all their old clothes in the sack that all the new clothes were in. And they all march out, and they're not supposed to look around or look back. Our Indian belief is if they do, well, they're looking around. Since they're representing someone that have died, that they're looking around for someone to take with them. So they just look straight ahead and just look where they're going, seriously. And when they come back, well, then, you know, everybody is mm-hmm. just so happy.
And it really represents the people who have died, or the person mm-hmm. who has died is prepared to go on.
Mm-hmm.
A
lot of times at this time, you know, the mostly the mothers, you know, cry a lot as the people are marching out, you know.
Because in one sense, that's the last time
uh-huh.
they'll ever be, you have that feeling of being with
yes.
them.
Yes, you know, they're leaving now. So that's the feeling, you know, we have.
So for the 2 years or so before the potlatch and after the person has died, do you have that sense that that person who has died is still present?
As you're working, you know, not only you're sewing and knitting and stuff, but like during the summer before the potlatch, you're putting away a lot of berries and you're putting away a lot of dry fish, dry meat. You have to think that far ahead. I say this would be in the summertime, and that would be in March. So you have to put the best of everything away.
Yeah. Do you have the feeling that that person that you're doing that for is with you when you're when you do that?
Always, uh-huh. Just, you know, you couldn't help but feel that way because everything you're doing is for him, you know.
The one of the things that you mentioned in the book is that the children were not left alone during mm-hmm. the stick dance, or their clothes were not hung up on the line.
Even other times than the stick dance, you're not supposed to have your baby clothes out on the line, or younger kids' clothes, no matter what time of the year. But more so now, like during the stick dance, other times seems like the people aren't so now like they were years back, but you know, during the stick dance, well, we don't, and then we are not to leave the children alone.
And people still do that.
Oh yes, uh-huh. We still do believe in that. You have to have an older person in the house with the smaller ones.
Do you feel at all uncomfortable with having your personal feelings and beliefs and stories for everybody to read?
No, I don't at all. I'm proud of it. I really am.
You don't think it's an invasion of privacy?
No, uh-uh. Because I've gotten a lot of compliments on the book. I know everyone that I've never heard not one person saying anything wrong, or, you know, that they didn't like the book, or I shouldn't have said this, or I shouldn't have. Everybody has complimented me mm-hmm. on it. And
what's the thing, though, that you think stands out? What are you proudest of in it?
I think
it's most important.
I think the whole thing. I can't say one from the other because each one is all important to me. Mm-hmm. Everyone, everything that I wrote about.
My favorite part in all that Pauline and I talked about is the love song she sang while showing me a beaded letter holder she made to keep her love letters in when she was a teenager. I liked it so much I wanted to hear it again, and I hope you'll agree.
This here was a love song we call, the name of it is Eagle Island, and it was made by a man from Nulato that was out on a trap line. And one evening, I guess you start thinking about his girlfriend, and he got so lonesome for home that he just composed this song. I don't have the voice for it, but I can try it anyway. Eagle Island, Listo, Dehuno, Nulato, Good Time, Hulantorni. Sida adze yose adotonil tihon de godetni ana ane oni ana ane ana. Yeltsar yelkosh ana ane honi.
Pauline Carlo singing Eagle Island. Before that, we heard her talking about the stick dance in Potlatch and about her book, Nulato and Indian Life on the Yukon. For Chinook Profiles, I'm Paula Schiller, and Chinook is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.